It's great, really, to get to be here, and I don't get a chance to come around very often. So afterwards, I hope I get to meet those of you who I haven't met yet. It's fun to be here on Mother's Day. Of course, I would love it if my wife was here. But if I had to choose somewhere else, this is kind of a special thing because when I was growing up, Daryl and Marilyn Cole were second family to me. We didn't live in Spokane at the time. We were in Oregon. But really, I spent a lot of time over at their house. We talked last night doing things that you're not allowed to do anymore because they're unsafe. But we did a lot of wonderful things, had a great time, and so it's fun to get to be here. And their boys, Andy and Greg, were best friends for me when I was growing up. That's a special treat. I'm very thankful for my mom. My parents right now are in Germany. Still in ministry, retired in one sense, and didn't stop anything. So my dad still pastors a church, and my mom, they're involved there, and she's a wonderful lady. She's one of the most sacrificial people I know, one of those who is motivated by love in so many ways, and who has never stopped growing. I love, she still will write, maybe not every week, but at least every other week, a letter to us kids, and in it she's always sharing what she's learning from God. She's never stopped learning. I love that example that she gives to me, both our parents do, but she's just an amazing lady, and I'm so thankful that God allowed me to be her son. And so if you haven't, I'm hoping to get a chance to talk to her. They're over in, because they're over on that side of the ocean, time differences are pretty hard sometimes, but she's not here, but I want to at least tell her I talked about her and said good things. And when I was growing up, I don't know if this was true for you, I grew up around the church, and I had the idea that to be a good Christian was to be strong, to be confident in your faith, to be someone who was an overcomer, you know, someone who had it together, that's what it was to be a strong Christian. And what I've found, and I'll talk about these last 4 years in particular, since we were last in the States, I've found some real struggles when my life ran smack dab against that. And I didn't feel strong, and I didn't feel confident, and I didn't feel like an overcomer at times. And maybe I'll just have a whole sermon here of blowing away all your preconceived notions about missionaries. Man, I struggled. I struggled in a lot of ways. For those of you who don't know some of our family situation, about 6.5 years ago, my wife was diagnosed with cancer. And we went through the first round of everything, chemo and surgery and radiation, and thought we had done. In fact, we came back 5 years ago, we were in the States, and really celebrated that God had brought us through all of that. And within a month of us hitting the ground back on the other side, it popped up again in a different place. And for the last, since then, she's been on active treatment, still is today, not doing well, actually, this weekend. I'll try not to get emotional. I've only been in the States for 10 days. So I told Nate, I said, I apologize. This is not going to be very polished. It's going to be pretty raw, just sharing. But I want to share because God's done some amazing teaching in our life through these years that have not been easy. But I tell you, my struggle wasn't just that it's been tough. My struggle was that I was struggling. And I thought, as a good Christian, I'm not supposed to struggle, right? I'm supposed to have it together. I'm supposed to be able to handle all that's going on. And these years have not been that way. I don't know then what the problem was sometimes. I would read things in the scripture and I'm like, I don't know, like there's this wonderful, amazing promise of God that those who delight themselves in the Lord, maybe you're familiar with it, those who delight themselves in the Lord, He will give them the desires of their heart. And I'm like, yes, I want that. And no, that's not my experience at all. And I was like, what's wrong here? What's wrong? And so my question, Lord, is the Bible, is this not what I thought it was? Is this somehow not as true? Is it just nice things that certain people said at certain times? It was true for them then. It's not like an all the time sort of thing. I struggled with that. That verse in particular, I slapped it on my wall. I said, I don't know what to do with that one, Jesus. You got to help me out. A year and a half, that stayed on my wall. I didn't know what to do with some of that because it was so far from the desires of my heart, all that was going on. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe it's the Bible. Maybe God, I've misunderstood who he is. And I certainly don't think God is here to make your life or my life all nice and happy and woo-hoo, party time. But I thought, man, this doesn't seem the way it should be. And I struggled that maybe I misunderstood God and his love. And then I came to the conclusion that now both those things, the things I had been taught, the things I had studied were right. God is a loving God. His word is true all the time. And that left me with one person in the mix that the problem must lie with, and that was me. If this wasn't working out, then I was the problem. And I struggled because I thought somehow I must have a spiritual problem that I'm going through these struggles. I must be way off somehow. Because if I wasn't, if I was a good Christian, if I was doing well, then I wouldn't be struggling the way I was. It wasn't just hard time externally. I was struggling on the inside, knowing what to do with some of the situations going on. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. I hope not. There's a song, a wonderful song. It has a line in it that says, "When the darkness closes in." It goes on to say, "I will continue to praise your name." But that line just stuck out to me. When the darkness closes in. And there have been times over these last 4 or 5 years when it felt that the darkness was closing in, that hope was being lost, that strength was being sapped, that the darkness was closing in. I don't know if you've ever had times, I hope you haven't, but maybe you've had times where you struggled with feeling discouraged or defeated, feeling overwhelmed by what was around you and wondering what to do with that. That has been my place. And I think sometimes we do feel those ways. And so what do we do in those situations? I want to just share what God's been working in my life over these past years and share a little bit about how that's gone on. One of the things that I've learned is that when we feel that way, I think David in the Bible is an amazing example of this. When we feel that way, we have a choice. We can either run from God or we can run to him. And in all the questions and all the struggles, I think I learned that I have to keep running to him. Even if I don't understand it all, I've got to keep running to him. And so that I would just encourage you with. I want to share from the Word because it's much better than me. So if you forget anything else, let's stay with the Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 has some verses in it. And if you're allowed to have favorites in the Bible, I don't know if that's theologically okay, but if you're allowed to, this would be on my top 10 list for sure. This chapter, and it's one that God has brought me back to a number of times that has helped, and I just want to share for a couple minutes on it and share some of the things that have been helpful to me in this period of some real struggle. And the truth is that in 2 Corinthians 4, it's a story not of great victory. It's a story of some struggle and what God did in that place. And so I want to read for you a few verses. I think they'll be up there. If maybe not, you can just follow along as I read it. I'm going to start in verse 4, and it says this: "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers." Just stop right there. That would be the case. I think it's becoming more and more the case here in the States. It's definitely the case in the Czech Republic. Predominantly, people ask, well, what is the religion in the Czech Republic? Atheism. They don't believe in anything. 80%+ believe that there is absolutely no spiritual thing at all. They're just, communism did a real good deal on them, and they took to it, and they believe that there's nothing. And so the God of this age, when I read that, I'm like, yeah, it's definitely the case. The God of this age has blinded their mind. Like, they can't even comprehend that there's a spiritual reality. It's just a total blindness to them. So that really shapes a lot of the ministry that we do there, that it's not a quick, hey, believe in God. They're like, yeah, I don't think there is a God. And so we have to live out really in front of them the reality of a God and a Savior who loves us. And sometimes that takes time. But the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. pause. If that annoys you that I keep pausing, I apologize. But I just want to say that's really the case. We're not there to promote ourselves, even with all the material in the back, and I hope you'll take that and pray for the mission and what's going on there. We're certainly not there to promote ourselves, but Jesus. In fact, we would love to take ourselves out of the picture so much that they only see Him. We'd love for that to happen more and more. That God would use us, but that God, people wouldn't be focused on us. That they would get to know Jesus as Lord. Listen to this next verse. This is really the one that stuck out to me. For God, who said, this is what God says, let light shine out of darkness. Let light shine out of darkness. He made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This was written by a guy named Paul. He was never known for writing easy sentences. This would be one of them. Mainly he means that light was shining out of darkness so people could know Jesus, so that they could get to know Him. I would love it if it worked this way, that we were all super humans when we became to Christ, and out of our strength, out of all of our amazing ability to handle and control and work out everything in this world so well and be on top of the world, that out of that, that God would shine and everyone would get to know Him because we were just such amazing people. If that's true for you, I'm glad the opposite's been the case for us. That in the times of the deepest darkness, this is what God says. Let light shine out of darkness. And somehow when it's darker, He shines brighter. And somehow when we're weaker, He shows up as stronger. And if the verse before is true, that we're not here to focus on us, that we're there to focus on Him, then sometimes I've got to say it's okay that I'm in a dark place and that I'm weak, because that's the place where He's going to show up. That's not what I expected when we went to the Czech Republic. I thought not that we were the answer to anybody's problems, but that we were going to bring the answer. We were going to really stand strong with people, help build up the church. And what I found is that God took us into a time, a long time, I wish it was done, where we are just weak and where we struggle. And somehow, the more limited we are, the more He shows that He's unlimited. He goes on in these next verses to say this, but we have this treasure of God showing up in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. We are dying. For all of us, that's the case, physically, biologically. For my wife, it's a little bit more in front of our face, as she struggles through this and as it takes its toll on her. And yet, in the midst of that thing, that horrible, horrible thing happening, God seems to be showing up. And people that didn't have any interest are listening. And people that were really struggling in their faith are somehow becoming stronger in God, not in themselves, as they watch as my wife lives this out. And really, it's testimony to God working in her life. She writes a blog. She shares it with people. She is willing to allow other people into the struggles of her life. I've been trying to learn to do that more. My encouragement for us as a church is that we would do the hard thing, and that we would share the reality of the struggles when they come. The reality of the good, for sure, but that we would be willing to share the reality of the struggles, because the light shining only happens when we share it. The darkness is broken only as we share and let people into it. And I think in our world today, it is so easy to try and put up a nice strong front. And honestly, in some ways, that would be really nice just to talk today about all the good things God's doing, all the great things. But the reality is that that has come through hard things. And because Crystal has been willing to share it, he's been using it in amazing ways. I'm trying to take a lesson from her that I would begin to share as well, a little bit more, the struggles. Because it's in those places where God has done some of the most profound work in our lives and through us. And so my encouragement to you, you can come to the Czech Republic and do it with us there, but maybe you just do it right here, is that with each other and with others, that you would share your life, share the real good, the real bad, the real struggles, the real weakness, and don't forget this, and the real God who is with us in all of those. Let people see that in your marriages, in your families, in your place of work or your school, the people that you're with. Let them see into that, because what is at stake is not how they'll think about you, maybe, but that doesn't really matter all that much at the end of the day. What's at stake is that you will have the chance for them to see Jesus in your life, that he will be revealed through these things. Can you imagine what it would be like if we lived in communities and we began to be people who shared openly? Not all the just only the great stuff or only the good stuff or only the safe stuff, but that we really shared in all of those things, and that we would find strength in one another. I think this is what would happen. It's at the end of the chapter, and for me, some of the most profound verses in Scripture. It says, after he gets done with this, about talking about this thing that we're struggling through, and yet we have a God who is bringing light through the darkness, he says this. He says, therefore, we do not lose hope. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, they don't seem that way at the moment, but there are light and momentary troubles, are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. When I had done that, I struggled so much. For what is seen is temporary. We fix our eyes on what is unseen, because what is unseen is eternal. Oh, what it would be like to walk with eyes fixed on what is unseen. Kind of a hard thing to do, I suppose, because our eyes are so geared. But if through the struggle God can bring us to that place where we start letting go of all the things that we would hold to for us and allow him to use the good and the really bad for his sake, that the world might know him and the reality of who he is, not in a nice picture on a wall or something just painted up that people can't relate with. That you and I, the thing we hold in common is Jesus Christ and the struggles that we have in this life. And that's true for the world around us, outside of the thing with Jesus. And I ought to invite Jesus into the struggles and see him work. I live in a country with no hope. I have nowhere to go. I ought to invite Jesus in, where he could meet them in the hardest of days, in the darkest of places, in the reality of this life, in this broken world we live in, and to begin to be changed. That's what we do. We don't have much of a fancy show. We go and we live, and we do our best to live it, the reality of it. And I mentioned before, and Nate asked, how can we stand with you? We desperately need prayers in those days, those weeks. Sometimes it's been months where it's tough. And we want to pray with you as well, because I know your life here isn't all roses either all the time. Sometimes it's tough. Things going on. And we want to stand together. Not so that we're just in a better place, but so that the world can know Jesus. So that we can help each other stand in Him. So, your missionary is no superhero. He's a struggling human being just like you. Just doing it in a different place where God's led us.